What we're going to talk about today from Ecclesiastes, I think fits into that area of why I wanted to preach through this book, because as I was reading through it, as we were going through the pandemic and lockdowns and all those kind of things that we've been through, I kept thinking, man, this book speaks a lot more to this situation than I ever remembered it. You know, it really just was coming out in like stereo or something, or high fidelity sound, you know. Okay, so today, I gave the sermon a title today of analysis paralysis. Do you know what analysis paralysis is? Analysis paralysis is like when you should be doing something. Maybe you got a job to do, and so you're going to analyze before you do the job, but it's like you analyze, and you analyze, and you analyze, and you analyze, and you look at it from every different angle, but nothing ever happens because you are paralyzed. You can't make a decision. Now, for some of you, that's probably what it's like when you go to a restaurant and you look at a menu, and you just can't decide what it is that you want to eat. Or even if you don't make it to the restaurant, even where you're going to go, honey, where do you want to go to eat? I don't know, where do you want to go? You know, and you get in this analysis paralysis, right? Kind of a thing. So I would say that I felt like I was seeing a certain amount of this in life. That there's so much to think about right now. There are so many controversies. There are so many things to analyze and try to understand. There's so many things to try to understand if this thing is true or that thing is true. That what happens is that a lot of us have spent a lot of time analyzing things, but then we stop doing what we should really be doing. And so we get paralyzed from going forward and from moving forward. And I thought that these verses really fit with that, and they tell us kind of some other things as we look at it. But we really need to make sure that we are living the lives that God wants us to live.
Yes.
We are doing what God wants us to do, and that we're not just so caught up in analyzing things and trying to figure things out. Amen? As we go through this. So let's start, let's read the verses here. This is 10 verses, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, 1 through 10. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. If the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. If a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the way the spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. In the morning, sow your seed, and at evening, withhold not your hand. For you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in all of them. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for this time that we could spend in your word. We ask that you would teach us through this. There's so much wisdom here in it, and we pray, Lord, that you would just show us what you want us to understand from it and see how it's relevant to our lives today and see exactly how it should be applied in our lives and in our situation. And we pray you'll do that through your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. This is one of those passages I had to kind of think about for a lot. I think I knew what it meant pretty well right away, but there's a lot that I didn't get, and I had to try to think about it a lot. And I looked at a number of interpretations that people would have for some of these things to try to understand what's being said. What does it mean? So I've had a little advantage to be able to think about this for a while and do some research and study. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. There's a number of different ways people look at that, and some of that you can see in actually how it's translated in different Bibles. All right, one way to look at that may be something along the lines of being related to business and commerce and work. So I've kind of lumped some of these things together, but I say maybe one view of this says something along the lines of be on your business. Put your bread to work. The NIV translated like this: ship your grain across the sea. After many days, you may receive a return. So that idea that they are growing things to grow bread, they make the bread, they put it on a ship, they ship it somewhere else, they sell it. So what are they doing? They're working, they're taking part in commerce. They're not giving up on that, they're continuing to do that, and they're sending it across the water so somebody could buy it, and then they send the money back and they get money in return. The Amplified Bible says, cast your bread on the surface of the waters. And then in brackets it says, be diligently active, making thoughtful decisions, for you will find it after many days. And then I just, with these words, kind of think of it like this too. Invest your bread carefully, diversify, and you'll have it when you need it. Thinking about it in that terms. You know, bread is, we think about that sometimes as a term of money or something, you know, as we think about it. And I think a lot of this really makes sense and can be applied in a number of different ways. But there's this idea here of doing something, of putting something out there, sending it somewhere. Now, you also can picture the little bread cakes, you know, that they have. Don't picture piece of Wonder Bread that you put in the water. Because what happens to a piece of Wonder Bread when you put it in the water? It just gets all like soft and just disappears or whatever. These bread cakes they had were more substantial and probably could picture them more floating out on the water, and they go out in the water and maybe they come back to you, maybe they don't, or maybe somebody else gets them. But there's this idea of putting your bread out there in some kind of uncertainty, if you look at it this way. And again, I'm giving you like a little bit another viewpoint, and I think that this might be a little bit on the line along the lines of what's being thought here, but you're putting it out there, and a lot of people look at this as generosity. That's another common interpretation, is that you put it out there so that other people can get it that need it, they can have it, and maybe you can get it when you need it. So generosity is another one. I like this thought, that you're putting it out there and you don't know what's going to happen to it, but you're trusting God with it to do something good with it, and there's some risk involved. But you know by doing that, by trusting God and by putting it out there, that God's going to take care of you. And He's going to provide, and it's going to be there when you need it. Amen? And it starts to really get into a lot of things in life as we think about it. These first verses, I think, are really, really key. Maybe here's how I would describe this. Do good. Be active. Even when it's not immediately obvious that you're going to get a return. But trust God that you will. Follow me? So in life, as you live life, you don't want to just do things that, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to get this return. This is some kind of formula. This is how it works. But you're willing to put yourself out there in a way and do good. Spread it out. Share it with others. Put it out there. And knowing that after time, when you need it, when you need a return from that, God will give you a return from that. Amen. For that. He will provide for you. He will care for you. Verse 2 says, give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on the earth. And so, again, you could look at this as generosity. Be generous. You know, when we're generous, that people will be generous back with you because you've been generous. And I think it says that numerous places in the Bible, and I'll share one with you here in just a moment. I think another way that this could be looked at that makes sense too is diversification. Diversification, you know, don't put all your eggs in one basket, but spread them out. Spread them out. And I think you can combine that with generosity, and I think you see a little combination of that in here. Do your work, do what you're supposed to be doing, working towards things that are good, but spread out what you do. And some of that should include generosity to other people. You care for other people. And when you care for other people and you have the kind of relationships and support and things are part of that, then it's going to be there for you.
Amen.
And I actually have seen people like numerous times that really struggle in relationships, and they're really upset that somebody's not there for them, but they have never built this kind of support system because they've torn it down. And so we want to learn how to not tear down relationships, but we want to build them up and we want to invest in them and care for others. And when you have the strength and the ability to invest in others and care for others, you got to do it. That's what it's saying here. You know, let me bring it back to the pandemic and the lockdowns and those kind of things. It is very easy to become all about trying to survive yourself and forgetting about others. And we need to make sure that we don't do that, that we remember others, that we remember relationships. And I think that's where those times were so challenging and so dark for people. And there's so much to try to figure out. But you want to have those relationships. You want to invest in those relationships. And one of those areas, or let me give you two of them that are really important. One would be your family. Mm-hmm. Family is really important. Amen?
Yeah.
And then your church is really important. It's like your family too. Church family. To have those and to be there. But don't just lock into one person. Give everything to one person. But spread it out. Okay? Spread it out. And you don't know how God's going to work. And we don't really know what disaster is going to come. But do we know some disasters will come? Yeah, but it's a matter of being ready for it. I also went through this, talked to my son, who's really big in investing. He really likes investing, and he talks about it a lot. And I said, hey, James, let me read you some verses from the Bible. I think these actually say something about investing, too, you know, with that kind of idea, you know. And I just read it, and I said, what do you think that means? You know, and we got to talking about it just purely from an investing standpoint, you know, this idea of, like, you have to put yourself out there to gain something. You have to put your stuff at risk, like, in some capacity. You can't get rid of all the risk, you know, but you can't lock yourself down in that perfectly safe thing. Like, remember the talents when you had the one, he gave the talents and he said, well, why didn't you invest? Oh, because I was afraid. Because I didn't put it out there because I knew what would happen. And so I just buried it in the ground. When we think about life, we just can't bury things in the ground.
Amen.
We got to put it out there. Whether it's investing or it's the life you live or however it is, and putting it out there and letting, you know, it go and having a certain diversity in what you do and who you are, it's really healthy for you. 11:3 says, if the clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves on the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. So listen, clouds and storms and wind and things are going to come and go.
Amen.
It's a normal part of the earth. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes even big storms and big things that are destructive, they come and they happen. It's a normal thing. We see them. And I think what these verses are saying is those things are going to happen.
Amen.
They're going to come and they're going to go. And whether we're talking about a literal storm and clouds, and you think about our world right now gets really obsessed with things that are happening. Like, I'm still not sure what that whole bomb thing was that was outside. You guys have that all figured out, right? The bomb cyclone thing. It sounded a lot worse to me than it was. I don't know. I thought something was going to just blow up. It was going to be really, really bad. But we get really into things and things that are happening. We get really focused on them. And basically what we need to understand is that this world is here because God wants it to be here.
Amen.
And we need to not be living in fear or so concerned about every little thing that's happening. And we need to know a lot of times, hey, things are happening. They're going to keep happening.
Amen.
And we must not be distracted by those things that are going to become history soon. If you look at the next verse, it says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. So you think of this from an agricultural standpoint, sowing the seed, reaping a harvest, and you can almost get the picture of this person is like they're paying so much attention to the weather, and they're waiting for the perfect time to sow the seed, They pay so much attention to this and they regard it so much that they never go out there and sow the seed, or they never go out there and reap, because they're waiting for the perfect time for something to happen.
Yeah.
And the perfect time doesn't ever come. Amen? And so we need to know that the weather is going to come, the storm is going to come, things are going to happen. But we have to keep going on and doing what we're supposed to be doing. Right? The person needs to go on and sow the seed and reap a harvest. So I think we can get the clear picture in the original context, physically thinking of a farmer. Right? Now, I would say in our time, we could also think just about work in general, what we do to provide for our families, what we do for the Lord, that we need to not be so locked up looking at the world and analyzing the world that it stops us from doing what we should be doing. And then I think in the deepest, most significant spiritual sense, if you think about the parables of sowing the seed and reaping the harvest, and you think about the gospel, we can't be so caught up looking at the wind and the storms that we don't sow the seed and reap the harvest as a church. And so in like situations where we've been through and all the things that are ahead and the distractions away, who knows, there could be bigger distractions ahead and bigger challenges ahead. We must not have so much regard and so much care to analyze and break down and understand all that's going on that we stop doing what we're supposed to be doing, and that we as the church stop sowing the seed, reaping the harvest. Amen?
Amen.
And so as you look at that and you think about that, and I think there's lots of ways that this applies. But you just can't stick your head in the hole and hide. We need to live for the Lord, and we need to be doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
I think there's a certain, in our culture and society, there's a certain fascination with the storm. It's like a fear and a fascination of that. And if we follow the world, we'll have that same thing. And we will not be productive in our faith. Now, I would see this too. Like, I run into people, and a lot of this originally had come out of like conversations I have with my boys and different things, you know. But this idea, well, something's happening here. I've got to figure out what's happening. There's something big about to happen. Something's going to break. We're going to figure this COVID thing out, and this vaccine out, and this election thing out, and all these different things. A lot of different things going on. But I do believe if we spend all our time analyzing those things for which we don't have answers, trying to break them out, trying to figure them out, then we're like looking at the storm and we're not sowing the seed.
Amen.
We got to make sure that we're doing that. Now, there's lots going on, lots of interesting things going on in our world. But just make sure that it's not causing you to put yourself in a hole somewhere, and that you're not living the life that Christ wants you to live, doing what you should be doing.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Are we tracking? Okay, all right. I also think that sometimes there's like a little bit of an attitude right now, which I think people are free to have. And I don't want to criticize the people that completely have this attitude, because I don't want to come across as critical in that way. But I think I look at it, and I've seen a little bit of it this week in some communications I saw from people, where right now, for some people, it is all about surviving, getting through this without catching COVID. And without dying from it.
Amen.
I'm not going to die from this. So therefore, I'm not going to do all these things, right? And I understand it. It's not how I live my life. It's not how probably most of you live your lives. That's why you're here. Okay? It's something that we encounter in life. And I think it reminds me of these verses here. It's like such a regard and such a fear of the storm that a person will lock themselves down into not living life. And I would just say, if I were asked, I wouldn't volunteer this to somebody. I don't go and volunteer this to somebody, but I'm saying this in thinking through this as I see like some of the things that are going on in our world and why the attitudes are what they are. That there's this kind of notion that you can beat this by just staying away from people. Maybe people that aren't vaccinated, or people that aren't this or that, you know. You can social distance. You can wear a mask. You can do all these things. There's that idea. And I just want to say, be careful with that kind of thinking.
Amen.
Be careful with that kind of thinking, because it's just like, in some ways, it's just locking yourself into a hole and trying to beat it. And where does it acknowledge God in it? And the storms are going to come and go. Is this the greatest thing that we've ever faced in our lives? I don't know.
No.
It might be the strangest thing. Strangest times, you know, we think. But it's very sensationalized. That's what I say as you look at it. Everything's very sensationalized. And we've never gone through something that's been like analyzed so closely. And that's why I say that during these times, we're in danger of analysis paralysis. All right? Ultimately, I think it comes down to everyone making choices for themselves about what's most important in life. And what you're going to do and who you're living for and what it's about. And I know that because you're here, you've made certain choices to be here and to do that. Now, I think, though, I get reminded every once in a while that, man, there are a lot of people out there in this world that don't think like we think about it. And get reminded by that. And so I think ultimately, though, you need to put thought and prayer into what you're doing and why you're doing it and follow the Lord. Okay, and how he directs you and his word directs you. I will say, I don't think that you or I are going to be able to figure everything out. I think we would be better using our time rather than trying to figure things out, getting caught up in some conspiracy or something like that, spending all our time on the internet, the dark corners of the internet, trying to figure things out. You ought to be reading your Bible instead. Okay? It would be a better use of your time. So you should also be realistic with yourself. This is church, be honest. Do you spend more time reading about things like that, or politics, or different things, than you do reading your Bible? If you do, you need to make a correction. It would be very good for you. It would be very good for you to do that. It would be very healthy for you. All right, because that means that you're just paying so much focus and attention on the wind and the storm, the clouds. And it's going to stop you. It's going to paralyze you from sowing the seed, reaping the harvest, doing what God wants you to do. Amen? Are you glad you came to church today?
Yeah.
All right, who's fired up? Hoorah! Okay, I have some history in my previous church, and I did this before. I guess I could tell you guys how this is done, all right? Okay, guys, when we don't say, woo, we don't do that.
Yeah.
We say, hoorah!
Yeah.
Right? Men's Bible study Saturday morning, hoorah! Men's Bible study Saturday morning, hoorah! There we go. Okay, sorry if that disturbed your hearing aids, Dick. Sorry about that. All right, check out verse 5 here. And I think this is a very important verse for the Christian worldview and understanding about some things. As you do not know the way the Spirit comes to the bones in the womb of a woman with child, so you do not know the work of God who makes everything. And when you think about this, everything that's going on and analyzing it and these things, and maybe even despising the times that we live in some ways and complaining about it, put that aside too. You have no idea how God's working through these times, do you? Amen. You and I have no idea. He says, as you don't understand this, you don't understand this. So just like you don't understand how a spirit of a person comes into their body in the womb of a mother, you do not understand how God works and what He does. But did you hear it? Did you hear it? The spirit of a person, that's the life of a person, the immaterial life in the womb of the mother.
Amen.
And that's why we're pro-life here.
Amen.
Because that's a life.
Amen.
And we're not a condemning pro-life. Like if somebody's, even I know in most churches there are people that have had abortions, and we know that and we understand that, and it's not an unforgivable sin or unpardonable sin or anything like that, okay? Know that and understand that. And if that's anyone here, you're loved, and you're cared for and you're accepted. And we've all sinned in so many ways, and it's not like one sin over others. This is how it works. But at the same time, we have to shape the worldview and understand. And it's the Bible that shapes it, and it tells us that a person's life is a life in the womb.
Amen.
A person doesn't become a person when they come out of the womb. There's no magical transition that you come out and you become a person. You become a person when you're conceived.
Amen.
At conception, that's the very best we could say. And you're in the womb. And so there's a spirit, there's a life of a person there.
Yeah.
And so that's why we stand on that and believe that. Now, I know that in our world today, the world is raging over that issue. What does the Bible say? If we do not understand, if we do not understand this part, what he's saying, you don't understand how I create life in the womb. Who would we be to take life?
Amen.
Right? Who would we be to take life? If God says that we don't understand when it starts, we can't get together and vote and make enough laws and do enough things that says it's right to take a life.
Amen.
Or not even to call it a life, to call it something else. That is man putting himself over God and what God says. All right. So that's why we talk about this a lot, our worldview and our understanding of things are not shaped by popular society or the world. They're shaped by what the Word of God says.
Amen.
Amen.
Good word.
All right. So just like you don't understand that, you don't understand what God is doing in this world. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, I think put that on the bulletin, says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declared the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways."
Yes.
Now I kind of pulled together this little conclusion of verses 1 through 5 here, okay? Don't let fear, discouragement, and overanalysis of world events stop you from doing what God wants you to be doing here.
Amen.
Keep active, working, productive. Continue to invest your time, talent, and resources for the kingdom. Don't let fear stop you from sowing the seed. Verse 6 says, "In the morning sow your seed, and at evening withhold not your hand, for you do not know which will prosper, this or that, or whether both alike will be good." So two qualities are talked about here: sowing your seed and not withholding your hand. So I would understand this as, again, continue to be productive. Do what you're supposed to be doing. Do your work. Sometimes this means going to work. Go to work. Do your job. Provide.
Yeah.
Keep active. Do these things. And then be generous. Don't withhold your hand means that if you were to withhold your hand, that means you were to give to somebody else. Be generous. So go to work and be generous.
Yeah.
Amen? Now some of you are like, "I'm retired." Ask Jeff, I got things for you to do. We'll cut down a tree together, you know. Jeff retired from Boeing and he was all excited and he showed up here like soon after that. And the next thing you know, he and I were cutting down these two big trees right out here. And it was probably one of the hardest work days we ever had here. And he thought every day was going to be like that. That was just orientation though for Jeff. He says, "You do not know which will prosper, this or that, whether both alike will be good." So whether or not you're hard work, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're being active, you're remaining active, God's going to use that, God's going to work through that sometimes, sometimes not as much, but your relationships, you're being generous, you're having an open hand, God is going to work through that. And you don't really know which one God is going to work through at which time, but you need both. Right, you don't want to be this person that's just all into work and saving, but you never have an open hand to anyone else. That would be wrong, right? And you also don't want to be this person that wants to have this open hand, but because you never work, you have really nothing to give to anybody else. So you need that balance in your life. Light is sweet, and it's pleasant for eyes to see the sun. I think this verse 7 through 10 is really about old people and young people. Do I have any young people in the house? Do I have any old people in the house? Okay, I thought nobody was going to raise their hand and we were going to say, that's about someone else. Hey, this is okay, you guys, listen closely to this. Old, young, middle, wherever you are. Life is good, I think, is really what this first part means. You wake up, you see another day, you see the sun. I mean, side note, but how many of you liked that extra hour of sleep last night? Woo! Hoorah! Right? Light is sweet, it's pleasant for the eyes to see the sun, it's good. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. And so I think this is directed more towards the older person. If you are blessed to live a long life, may every one of your days be one that you rejoice in those days. You rejoice in the Lord. That the Lord is your source of strength, that you're recharged by His joy. You find joy in each and every day and everything that's going on. Amen?
Amen.
But remember, the days of darkness will be many. So we could think, oh, that's the bad news. But I think it's in reality of saying take joy in your days. Hard days are ahead. Maybe hard days are behind. Life isn't easy. There are going to be many dark and difficult and challenging days. But despite that, find joy.
Amen.
In all of them. Like he didn't say, just find joy in the days that aren't dark. But find joy in all of them. What does all mean?
Yes.
What percentage is all? 100%, right? 100% of the day. So find joy. Rejoice in all this. He says, all that comes is vanity. Remember, vanity is like that vapor mist that you really can't get your hands on. And so I take this as both good and bad. You know, everything that comes, good and bad, pleasant and unpleasant, we got to remember it's temporary. It's all temporary in this world. If we think it's good, like, hey, this is great. Guess what? It's vanity. It doesn't last. What's your favorite steak you ever ate? You can't, I mean, could you, what did you say?
Yours.
Mine?
Yours on Fancy Feet. That's on.
Thank you, guys. I really cried with Treasure's picture. And I almost cried right there when you said that. Okay? Just so that you know. There was a time we had this steak down at Cannon Beach Conference Center, and I was like, oh yeah, this isn't very good. Mine's a lot better than that. I was saying this, and I said this to one of our district rep, and then my wife, my better half, she's so good, she said, honey, you're being really boastful right now. And she said that quietly to me. She didn't say that. And she said, I'd rather you not do that. I said, okay. I said, but I do think they would like to come and try the steak that I'll make. So, it's vanity, you know. A good steak is vanity, you know. It's just you enjoy it for just a little bit, but you can't hold on to it forever, right? It's just gone. It just goes in the body and out the body, and there you go. No, that's biblical. It says that in the Bible, actually. It talks about that in the Bible. It does. But, you know, everything that we consider so good is temporary. Bad is temporary, too, though.
Yeah.
You got to remember that, too. Like, it's all vanity. So if something's really hard, like, let's say you're in really hard times right now. This, too, shall pass. Because it's just a vapor. It's just a mist. Just remember that and keep your focus on the Lord. Keep Him as your source of joy. Keep trying to renew your joy each day, seeking Him and seeking His face. And now it talks to the young people. We ready, young people? Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. It is biblical to say, look, enjoy being young, okay? Right? Amen? Can I get amen? Enjoy being young. How many of you who are a little older, and I could throw myself in that category, look back and go, those were the days, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember going to Godfather's all-you-can-eat pizza. Between two-a-days in football, go to football practice, do all that running around, go to pizza, eat probably over 20 pieces of pizza, take a little nap, and go to football practice in the afternoon, and my body did not complain one bit. Now, I eat 3 pieces of pepperoni pizza too late at night, and I'm like, man, what is this? What's going on? It's kind of burning. There's a little acidy feeling here. It's getting older, right? This is a picture, you know. But it is entirely. Hey, enjoy that. But the thing that you got to know and understand is that it's vanity. It's a temporary thing. Life is not always going to be like that. You look at your parents sometimes. You guys look at your parents and think they look old. Okay, that's nice of you. My kids would say, yeah, they probably think, you're going to be there before you know it. It's like a flash.
Yeah.
I feel like just the other day I was just running around over in this high school here. And then, there, where is it? Okay. And then next thing you know, you're pushing 50, you know. It happens. It happens quick. Now it says, rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. I think we got to understand, we got to hear this, and we got to hear the next verse. Okay, so the next part of the verse, it says, but know that for these things God will bring you into judgment. So what I think this means is, when you're young, dream big dreams. Have dreams. Pursue your dreams. Have goals. Go after them. But don't go after them in a way that sacrifices the Lord and your relationship with the Lord. Know that the decisions you make and the things that you go after and what you pursue, God cares what choices you make.
Amen.
And there's going to be judgment for those things. And it's the same for all of us, you know, at all ages. But I think, especially when you're young, that I think God gives you like some dreams, you know, to pursue, things to go after. Just make sure they're godly and go after them. And don't forget the Lord when you go after those things. I was always a person that dreamed big, that, you know, was going to do great things, big things. I can't stand looking at like things I wrote like when I was in high school or coming out of college, because they're just so, the dreams are so big and they have no connection to reality, you know. As I look at them, right? That's how I look at him now. But, I mean, I think that was okay, because that's where God wanted me to be. And he had me. And those things propel you forward a lot of times. And then later you see what God really has in store for you and how it's really going to look and how it's his plans are better than your plans. Okay? But don't neglect the Lord. Don't forget the Lord as you do that. And just one more thing about dreaming big. I have you ever heard that song, Dream Small? And that guy sang that song to Village Missionaries. He made a special recording of it and sang it to Village Missions people with the idea that not only do we have to dream big, but we have to dream small. We have to dream about the small places that people forget, that people think are not important, and we need to make things important. And there was another guy who also said, make the big time where you're at. That was Frosty Westring, the coach at PLU. And that was one saying of his that I liked, which I think about it here today, is, where you are, where God has you, that's the big time. It's not all a matter of dreaming to be somewhere else. But make the most of like where you are. All right, last verse here. Remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body, for youth and the dawn of your life are vanity. Again, they're temporary. And is he talking to the old person or the young person or everybody? I think the idea of removing vexation from our heart, I think I would tie that back to the analysis, paralysis, and trying to figure everything out and being vexed by all that's going on in the world. When he's been talking about this through these things that he sees, he's like, hey, this is an evil or this is a vexation. It's things about the world that he just can't make sense of. And so at some point you got to just surrender that to the Lord. Put away pain from your body. I mean, I know we would like to know how to just do that. How can we just do that? How can we not be in pain? And I'm not going to say that there's some formula to that short of him bringing you into glory. But we don't have to focus on it. We don't have to be dwelling on it. And then youth and the dawn of life or vanity, it's short-lived. It's not something you can grasp or hold on to. We're going to talk about this next week, but I think reading that next verse is really good. Listen to this one. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. So the time to remember God and the beginning to remember God is when you're young. You know, don't wait till you're old. Don't say like, hey, I'm on top of the world now. I don't have to think about God. No, think about God when you're young. When you have full strength, when you don't have health problems. Think about the Lord then and serve the Lord then. Amen? All right, just want to wrap up with these personal applications. Quick time check just to make a decision on song at the end here. Personal application. I would ask you to begin with, are you suffering in any way from analysis paralysis? Has any of this described you? You know, your focus on things, okay? So be thinking about that. Be thinking about some of the things we said, getting the focus and attention where it needs to be. Being a person of action in the Lord and building the kingdom and those things. What does God want you to be about? Like if you think about casting your bread upon the waters and putting things out and doing things. I mean, really, what does God want you to do with the strength and the time and the energy that you have? How does God want to use you? What does He want each day to be about? And then the third one is, are you making the most of the days you have? Are you making the most of them? Or is time just, are you just kind of buried in a hole mentally? Make the most of it. Be out there serving the Lord. And then the last one is, because you know the dark days are always out there, how can you best prepare yourself for dark and difficult days?
Pray.
That's certainly one of the top two. Top two is be in the Word and be in prayer. You know, as you look at them, be in fellowship. Fellowship is important because He doesn't say just pray and read your Bible by yourself. Pray and read your Bible, be part of a church, be in fellowship, be with other believers, serve together. Okay? Hoorah! All right, so let's just make sure that we are looking forward and that we're not paralyzed and prevented from being what God wants us to be in any way. Amen? All right, now I want to go ahead and say if anyone needs to pick up a kid or do anything like that, you can go do that. But I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up for a closing song. If any of you need to slip out, go ahead. The rest of you, let's just stand and praise the Lord together. Amen? Amen.